Many years ago, I went to Athens to serve as a pastor there at First Baptist Church. And they had a center section that was kind of filled up like this one, maybe about half. And out on the wings, they had another section that nobody was sitting in. And the chairman of the trustees, he took it upon himself that he was going over there and sat in one of them sections. And he was going to be a seed for that section. And somebody went and sat on the other side and was going to be a seed for that section. Think that, boy, if they're sitting over there, maybe it'll grow. You know, by golly, it happens. You know, I want you to look around at all the empty seats. What if God held you responsible for filling some of those seats? You think He'd do that? You think He'd be serious about it? Well, we're going to talk about Jonah this morning, and Jonah had to find out that God was very serious about it. You know, we usually stop when we tell the story of Jonah, how the big fish was the one that caught Jonah, and then eventually the big fish, God had it spew out Jonah, and Jonah was saved. But that's not the whole story of Jonah. And perhaps we'll have to take the whole book of Jonah this morning to find out and get the real meaning of who was this Jonah, okay? And I guess before we get to Jonah, I just want to tell you a story about this child. He and his father, they drove past the fire station every day. And every day when they drove past the fire station, there was some men that was in uniform, and they was shining up that fire truck. And the little guy, he finally asked his father, he says, why every time we're passing by this fire station, the men are in there and the shiny engines are in there, but, you know, why are they always shining up the engines? And well, the father had to explain that they were passing time waiting on a fire call. And it was important that they keep the equipment in good condition. And while I might say that works in fire stations, it doesn't work with churches and Christians. There are fires all over our community. There are fires all over this country. And I'm talking about souls that are headed to an eternal hell unless somebody reaches them. Now, we can take that serious or not, but I think too often we as churches, and especially Christians, we kind of approach the ministry and evangelism like the firemen. We'll spoof up the church building, perhaps, and we'll keep it clean, and we might even polish up our ministries, but nobody comes. There's a reason for that. Jesus says, go, tell, and teach, and make disciples and bring them in. Everyone has that opportunity. Jesus gave it to us as our responsibility. And we will be accountable for that, my friends. You can like it or lump it, but we're going to be responsible for what we do or not do. And He'll hold us responsible. The great commission of Jesus was to win the lost. That commission went out to every Christian. It didn't go out to just the preacher. It didn't go out to just the deacons or someone that might go on visitation. But it went out to everyone. And for years I've been telling you that, you know, the best way that you can do that is build relationships. And as you build relationships, you invite them to come to these events that we have. You invite them to come and help you in VBS. You invite them to come and share in a father-daughter cookout. All kinds of opportunities that we let go right past us and don't take advantage of them. You know, God wouldn't allow Jonah to do that. I want to read to you from, first of all, from Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to go verse 17. Here it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa, found a shipping going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that kind of what we do? If you don't do, aren't you kind of running from the Lord because he says this is what we're supposed to do? I think we're running from him. We're not accomplishing what he calls us to do. Jonah did that. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Did you ever get any of those in your life? He sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to light the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Now, we got a guy that God speaks to. He's supposed to do something, and he heads 500 to 600 miles in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. And now there's a great storm. And where's Jonah? Down in the bottom of the seat of the ship, fast asleep. And so they cried out to him, but the Lord sent out a great wind. And then he says in verse 5, and the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was into the ship, into the sea, and lightened the load. But Jonah had gone down. Verse 6, so the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then he said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me, Jonah said. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard, and they tried to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's sake, and do not charge us with the innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered the sacrifices to the Lord and took vows. Now, we know in verse 17, this is one of the big famous verses. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Well, it looks like God picked up Jonah, doesn't it? And just maybe God is going to give Jonah another chance. Just maybe. Jonah prayed for deliverance. Let me tell you something about Jonah. Jonah was enjoying a very fine ministry in Israel, in his part of the country. He was no stranger to God. He knew God very well because he was a PK. He was a prophet's kid. And he knew what God could do, and he knew God's ways. He had enjoyed some of the good times in ministry, as perhaps you and I have. As a matter of fact, he had enjoyed so much that he became this group of people as he served. He became their chosen person. He enjoyed a special place in God's economy, being Jewish and a son of Abraham and the covenant of God. Israel is an example of God's ways and blessings, I think. And so when God asked Jonah to go to a major Gentile city that belonged to Israel's enemies, that's a key issue, and offer them salvation, he's beside himself. Jonah is beside himself. He says, God, why are you going to send me to those wicked people? God, they're our enemies. Why would you send me to our enemies? He said, if they're saved, they'll come and destroy us. God, don't you know that these Ninevites hate us and mock us? And why do we want to do good to them? Why do we want to offer them salvation? How many brethren you think will feel, how do you think they're going to feel whenever I go to our enemies and offer you to them that they might be saved? So Jonah, he knows the right things. He knows the right things to do. But he's not doing them. He actually has went in the reverse direction. He may have thought they can't hurt us later if I let God take them because they're not saved. He had some very erroneous thinking that was going on in his mind. And God, like God, will work in you and I's life. He'll bring something into your life to change your mind. And you may not believe that. I know, and I believe it. It happened to me. There's something that comes into your life to change you, to change your thinking, and Jonah's going through that. The down and discouragement, the underneath where you need to be, not living above the circumstances. You want to live down here in the muck and mire? Well, don't do that. Get up there and live with where God lives. Be with Him. You know, I can tell you a story about Jackie Robinson, and some of you may know Jackie Robinson, the first black man to actually play Major League Baseball. He was a great man. He was a great player. But yet, he was not being accepted by the Brooklyn Dodgers. Fans, even the fans he was not being accepted of. And one day, he made an error. And he was jeered. I mean, the fans were all over him. But you know, there was another fella. His name was Pee Wee Reese. And as Jackie Robinson stood at second base, and Pee Wee Reese was a shortstop, he went over and put his arm around him, and he let the fans know that this was his friend. You know what Jackie Robinson said later? He said, that man saved my career. When we no longer feel the pain for the lost people of this community, of our families, of our acquaintances, where are we? If we're only concerned about polishing the fire engine, spoofing up ourselves, being self-centered rather than God-centered, then where are we? Whenever we have no pain for the lost, if we're spending all of our time and our energies by polishing fire engines and not going to the fires, then something's wrong with us. Instead of going out fighting, I believe we become hardened. And that breaks my heart. And it breaks God's heart. That we have become so hardened that we can't even invite someone. We spend no time with unsaved people. We spend no time building camaraderies and fellowship and with the lost. You know, Jesus did. You think about Him. You think about how many times He went where the people were that were lost and shared His testimony and who He was and the greatness. Well, Jonah was a comfortable guy and probably kind of comfortable like you and I might be. We have this to do and this to do and this to do, and if we do all these things and keep them in our own priorities, gee, everything's comfortable. Jonah was kind of like that. until he was thrown overboard, which was a choice that he had made. He wanted to, he knew he was a culprit. And you and I know that whether we're guilty of not working for the Lord or whether we are. And then, whether it's this church or another church, the same thing is true. It's God's people that we're going after. It's those people that are lost, headed to an eternal hell. And unless we reach them, they will not be reached. Well, Jonah, he got a reprieve. I want to read verse chapter 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, he cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell, he says, I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves, they passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You know, just because we go through one of those difficult circumstances, don't you think that maybe God's trying to teach us something? Maybe God's trying to show us something? Maybe God's trying to show us something that we need to change? Just maybe. Difficult circumstances come into lives. Remember, God's in control of all things. But those difficult circumstances come into our lives sometimes to change our direction, to get us back up, to start looking to in faith to the Almighty God. Start climbing that mountain of surrender again and surrender unto the Lord God Almighty. You know, Jonah got a second chance. God caused that fish to vomit Jonah up on the banks out of the sea. And he got a second chance. And he cried out, as we just read, what it was like, what it felt like the doors were closed and like God had shut him out. But God gave him another chance. He didn't change him, though, as we'll find out. It says that Jonah preaches at Nineveh in chapter 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah from a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I have told you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now in Nineveh, it was an exceedingly great city. It was a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. You think he might have got excited? You think he just might have moved a little bit faster? You think he just might have got the message that it was urgent that he get to Nineveh? I think so. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. You see, he hadn't lost his ability to come through to people. He had still had it to convince people that there was a need of change in lives. And we're talking about 120,000 people in Nineveh. And they're God's prophet has cried out to them. And it says they begin to hear him. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, down in verse 5. And so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them, every one of them. Sackcloth is just reflecting that we're going to be humbled to the point that we will listen. You hear sackcloth and ashes a lot, but it's a humbling experience. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside the robes. He covered himself with the sackcloth and with ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the kings and of the nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every one turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we might not perish?" When God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. You see, God already had a plan. Just like he has a plan for every person that's out here in this community, every one of your friends, every one of your acquaintances that you might know, your co-workers, he knows every one of them. He knows every hair on their head, and he has a plan for them. His plan is that he wants to see every one of them saved. Jesus came for that purpose, to seek and to save those who were lost. Then he gave that job to us, to seek and to save those who were lost through his blood. But we had an opportunity to take that salvation message to them. Here we see Jonah finally did it. And God honored it. God honored it. Even though Jonah had certainly done wrong, but yet he repented. And he says, "Okay, I'll go." And he went quick. Jonah and the Israelites were very comfortable. Their borders were expanding. They enjoyed a fair standard of living. Things went pretty good. Why rock the boat by going up to Nineveh? Well, God said there's people up there that need to be saved. And he sent Jonah. Jonah refused. He gave him another opportunity. Jonah went. The people were saved. So I've heard that over and over until I can't really handle it anymore. "I can't go because of this. I can't talk to people. I can't..." Look, I remember the first time I went too. I remember the first time I knocked on the door and I stood there and was shaken. But you know what? God, through the power of his Spirit, speaks through us whenever we are willing to go. "I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability." You know what? God will give you whatever you need. And that's what happened to Jonah as well. Jonah may have been concerned how his fellow Jews were going to express themselves. Those people that he thought he was so close to and he ministered to, and they loved him, and he loved them. He was wondering how they would think. Jonah was willing, though, to go to some extreme ends to avoid going up there, wasn't he? He had told those guys back in the boat, he says, throw me overboard. He said, "I'd rather die and go on to heaven than to go up there to Nineveh." God took care of that. And this is Jonah's sin. The failure to love the lost. To go to them and to seek them for salvation. You see, it's not enough, folks, to pray and to hope that it'll happen. God says, "Go, tell, make disciples, lead them to the Lord, show them, tell them about your life and what God has done in your life." You know, we might disagree with their theology, and I do. I disagree with the Jehovah Witnesses and their theology. But you know what? There's something about them. They go to witness. Part of what they do is they go 10 hours a month stomping the streets of the city. 10 hours a month pounding the pavement in their hometown, in addition to 5 hours of nothing but hardcore teachings. I want to read to you verse chapter 4. It says here, but it displeased Jonah. Even though he was up there now, just think about it. He's been up there. He spoke to them. He's told them they were saved. The king got on board. But what happened here to Jonah? Did he really, really, really make the change that he should have made? Is he looking at life? Is he looking at the opportunities like he should have? Well, let's look. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly that he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for you know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, it is right for you to be angry. Is it? No, he asked that question. He says, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and went out on the east side of the city. And there he made for himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and it made it come up over Jonah, that it might shade for him his head and deliver him from the misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it was so to damage the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a tremendous east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew a faint again. And then he wished death for himself and said, is it better for me to die than to live? And then God said to Jonah, is this right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, is it right for me to be angry, even right for you to be angry until death? But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a might and perished in a night. And I should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between right and wrong, and their right and their left, more even their livestock. Jonah didn't learn. He didn't learn that the blessing was there. He didn't learn that these people's hearts were changed, that the king was crying out and giving them another chance. He was or working with him, and that the Lord had given him another chance to certainly go and to cry out to Nineveh. But yet here's Jonah now. He leaves the city, goes out on the east side, and he sets out there. He says, let's see what's going to happen now. He's questioning what God had done. It's kind of discouraging, isn't it? As we hear how Jonah reacted, it's kind of discouraging. But I wonder how God looks at each one of us. I wonder how He looks at each one of us. If we compare Jonah to Jesus, if you remember whenever Jesus, it was on Palm Sunday, and how Jesus was coming into Jerusalem knowing full well that He was going to have to end up on that cross dying for your sins and mine. And when Jesus came up over the hill and He looked down over Jerusalem, what did He do? He cried. You talk about compassion. Where is our compassion for the lost? We must not take delight in lost souls before us as Jonah did at Nineveh. It's not Christian-like to rejoice over any homosexual who dies of AIDS. And it's certainly not Christian-like to think of our own needs before we think of someone else's. I don't think it's Christian-like to let other people reach out to the lost while we sit back and relax and watch. Something's wrong with that picture. And it's not Christian to withhold the truth about sin and the desire for God to save the world that's before us. Committed. God calls us to be committed people. Committed people to take the message. The only message that we have to take, God says, go and tell and teach and make disciples. We're supposed to take the message of Jesus Christ dying upon that cross and His blood dripping on the ground, making the atonement for our soul. And then He says, if you'll believe with all of your heart and your mind that that occurred, He says, I'll save you. Commit yourself to me. God was trying to get Jonah's. He was trying to get Jonah's attention to be committed, to go up to Nineveh, to see 120,000 sinners saved. He had a terrible time getting Jonah to go. And then after God blessed him with that's the salvation of so many, he's out there sitting, wondering, what's going to happen now? And God takes care of him one more time. He grows this plant and puts it over his head so he gets some shade from the beating down sun. And Jonah didn't appreciate that either. It grew up overnight. And so God says, okay, you don't appreciate that? I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you another lesson. And that goes on in our lives. He said, I'm going to give you another one. And he sent a worm to eat that plant, to kill that plant. And then he sent a blistering wind to try and wake up Jonah again. Folks, if we as a church, and I've said this from my first message and I'll say it on my last one, if we want to ignore reaching to the lost in our community to pull them into this church, if we don't do it, this church will shrivel up. The Christian that won't witness will lose the vitality of his or her faith, if I may say that distinctly and directly. Vitality. It's not going to mean as much to you anymore because it's just a commonplace. God would not let Jonah off the hook. He provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. He provided a vine. To give him shade. He provided that worm to take that vine away. He provided a scorching heat wind to come at him to try and wake him up again. Now, we think about, well, would God do all these things? Yeah, He'll do these things, but there's going to become a time. I've read the last book in the Bible. And there's going to be a time whenever God is going to bring judgment down upon this whole world. And all of your acquaintances, your fellows that you're partners with, your friends, you know, unless they hear the gospel message and the saving grace and hear about the saving grace of Jesus Christ and perhaps what He did in your life, unless they hear it, they're going to be part of that judgment. There was a stubbornness here and the jealousy that certainly Jonah showed. There was really nothing wrong with Jonah's theology about God. He knew that he was as we just read in chapter 4. There was nothing wrong with his theology. He knew that God was a relenting God. He knew that God was a forgiving God. He knew that God would give him another chance, and he did. But how many chances will God give us to get it right? Well, He'll forgive us. He'll forgive us, and He'll forgive us, and He'll forgive us. And He'll forgive us. And blessings will remain in the file drawer in heaven for you and all of us. Jonah already knew that when he left that God would save the Nineveh. You know, if you and I don't go, well, okay, then we lost the blessing and somebody else will get it. God had a plan that He was going to save that 120,000 at Nineveh. But he wanted Jonah to be the one. Jonah's now not happy about it. Isn't that amazing? That you can't be happy about somebody being saved? A whole group of people that God saves? And so he starts to question. He says, Lord, don't you know that these people, that they're going to come against us? They're our enemies, God. He doesn't understand that those people's hearts will be changed whenever they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're not going to be enemies any longer. They're not going to be the down and trodden people. They're the people that's going to take advantage of the Israelites. That wasn't going to happen, nor will it happen with you and I. Yet he tells God he'd rather die than live to see the Gentiles saved. Unbelievable. I don't know. I guess depression does terrible things in people's lives. Perhaps Jonah was depressed. I don't know. But I can say that God, whenever God moves in your life, he'll help you move whatever rocks, whatever obstacles are in your way to allow you to get the people to tell them about Jesus Christ. He will remove it. I don't believe in my heart that God will ever, if there's someone there to be saved and there's right before you, I don't believe that God will ever put a roadblock for you to be able to tell them about the saving knowledge about Jesus Christ. He's put them there for a purpose. Now, Jonah was kind of like the man that was granted a wish by an angel one night. And the angel came and said, I understand that you have a problem with the man across the street. I understand that you have difficulty with him. The man says, yeah, that's right. So the angel said, you're stuck on this thing. He says, whatever, I'll give you a wish. And whatever you wish, I will give you double what I give the man across the street. And the man says, I want one eye. Meaning that the person across the street would get an eye out, two eyes out. Doesn't make any sense. Sometimes, you know, there's vengeance in our minds and our hearts. But God makes it clear that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And it's we give those people and turn them over to the Lord as God wanted Nineveh turned over. To show Jonah his mercy, he sent that plant. That's amazing, isn't it? He grew it overnight. Jonah didn't appreciate it. It's kind of like us. He sends things to us that we don't appreciate. So what's God? He said, okay, you don't want to appreciate that. I'll send a worm and take it away. And he did. Jonah missed the message again, didn't he? Jonah was troubled by a God who desired the good toward evil up in Nineveh. Jonah was all confused. And may I say again, Jonah was self-centered. You and I, my friends, are supposed to be God-centered, not self-centered. And if we are so self-centered that we get so hardened, so confused about what our purpose is in this life, then God help us. There was a cleansing. In Jonah 4, we're going to wrap up. In Jonah 4, verses 10 and 11, it says, Nineveh was spared for now, and this repentance seems genuine. Judgment is withheld. It's only Jonah that had it all wrong. God had it right again. God loves even the enemies, and we're supposed to love them as well. We're supposed to love all people. You know, Jonah wasn't looking straight, if I can say that. Jonah wasn't looking straight as to where God was trying to lead him and to show him and to fulfill him. And it's kind of like the story I want to tell you about the man, the farmer who was plowing a field, and he had his son hook up the horse to the plow, and he went out to teach his son how to plow the field. And he says, "Son," he says, "to make straight furrows," he says, "you get your eye peeled or on that object out there, and you follow that object," and he says, "you'll make straight rows." Well, the son took the plow and he began to plow. And it wasn't long until the father came back and he seen furrows going all over the field. I mean, they was going this way and that way. He says, "Son, what in the world are you doing?" And he says, "I'm following that cow and it's roving." When are we going to get our eyes on the rock of Jesus Christ that doesn't move? Jonah needed God's perspective. We need God's perspective. The same loving God is willing to love and to forgive. And He does it freely. He paid a price for our sins. When Jonah tried to escape his responsibility, God didn't let him. And God's not going to let you either. And He won't put any roadblocks in front of you to stop you. It's only you that becomes self-centered and not God-centered that'll stop you. If we want to continue, we miss out on God's miraculous nature. And I think we become selfish people. We become bitter people because we're not allowing God to really move and work in our lives. And we become jealous sometimes of those that do what they're supposed to be doing for God. It's a shame. Sometimes we become resentful and we become withdrawn. But if I can sum it up, we are under the divine responsibility to love sinners and to seek their salvation. That is our responsibility. To fail to love the lost and to seek them for their redemption is an attempt to run away from God. Jonah did it. You heard the story. God wasn't pleased. God had to bring judgment. I hope He doesn't bring judgment to you. It would be so much better if you and I would just simply cooperate with what God wants to do in this church's life, in my life, in your life. I tell you, the blessings are there. The blessings that He wants to pour upon us. And I don't do it because I want a blessing. We do things for Him because we love Him. We love Him as being our Lord and our Savior, and a person in God that wants to do the very best for us that He can possibly do. And whenever we fail to do that, there's something wrong with that relationship. There's something wrong with that relationship that needs to change. If we're self-centered and not God-centered, we need to examine where we are and what we need to change. And I leave that with you. God wants, He made a provision for every person on the face of this earth to be saved. Now, I think about the analogy. I guess I ought to let it be. But I'll use the analogy anyway. If you and I today was told that we should go to, I mean, we continue to deteriorate in this country, country-wise, we're going down the tube. If you haven't figured that out, we're going down very rapidly. Moral values, going down. Why? Because of exactly what we just talked about. You know, if it was you and I going out and telling them what an almighty God can do for them and how almighty God can change a heart and change a mind, do you think that we'd really be deteriorating? You see, that's what's going on in this country. Christ has been forgotten. God has been forgotten. And it's time that you and I turn that around. And if we can't, I don't think so. We can make differences. I had a message on that one time. Be mad people. Make a difference people. We can be that. And should be that. And not be like a Jonah. You've heard the whole story of Jonah. It was more than him being swallowed by fish and regurgitated. Heard the man and how we ought not to be. But it's a lesson for us to learn. And this morning, if it's your turn to change before the worm eats the plant that's over your head, or whenever you run from God in the opposite direction and he's calling you, come on back here. Come on back here. And you keep running in the opposite direction. That's not where God wants us. Maybe it's time for you to come and repent and get yourself back where God wants you. Let's stand and pray together and see what God does in your life. I praise Him. Father, You are an almighty God. You showed us how You worked with Jonah, and You showed us how You'll work in our hearts and lives. And I pray that You'll move in a mighty way in our lives as we come to You in the precious, precious name of Jesus. As Your people are called, Lord, You deal with them. And I thank You for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you're one that needs to get right